Good morning, church. Today's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to... Sorry, my mistake. Chapter 2. Verse 1 to 7. Just keeping you on your toes, all right? You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier ever gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. This is the word of the Lord.
I have had to preach without having prepared before, but I wasn't intending to do that this morning. So when the reading was wrong, I was just slightly concerned. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that your word and your spirit work together so that we would hear you speak. May that be true this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have journeyed with Timothy, church planter, church leader, about the age of 40, just like me, but in danger, that's not true by the way, of giving up on the gospel and on gospel work, the gospel work God has called him to. Timothy has been addressed by Paul to reassure him that he's right to stand up for the gospel because he's following in his family line, in the line of all good, true Jews. He has in his possession God's gospel, which is sufficient and successful. And yet, he was struggling to keep on going. Yes, he'd planted churches or helped to pastor churches, but now Paul was dying and Timothy was going to be on his own, or at least that's what it felt like. And we have seen that he is tempted to be ashamed of all that he has believed in. On a climb up Mount Everest, two climbers aimed for the peak, but on the way up, one had to turn back due to ill health. The one left considered going on, but said these words, "I could not face the task alone." It's a very understandable reaction, and that's where Timothy is. And so it is that we continue from where we finished last week. Last week, we began to see how Timothy doesn't need to be ashamed of the gospel. And this week we'll see more of that similar theme. But first of all, we'll see the command. Verse 1, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." When you become a clergy person, you're given what's called the bishop's charge. It's supposed to tell you what you're to do as a clergy person. And here, in a sense, is Paul's charge to Timothy, his command. It's the charge to one who is in danger of being ashamed of the gospel. And it's very realistic. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It's great he's not telling Timothy to buck up, keep a stiff upper lip, make sure you do, be strong, Timothy, Was it John Wayne who said something like that, wasn't it? I can't remember what his exact phrase was, but it was like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, I think was how it was. That's not what it's saying here. We're told, and Timothy is told, not to feel he's got the strength, not to be an individual, not to be independent, but you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But what does that actually mean? Well, in chapter 1, verse 7, we read these words, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline." And it's the same word here that's translated grace. "You then, my son, be strong in the power that is in Christ Jesus." Paul wants Timothy to recognize that we as Christian people live by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, that power is made evident in our life through the work of the Spirit, the provision of the Spirit. He is God's God-given, unearned help to his people. Timothy's strength had to be in the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, not in himself, because none of us have the power in ourselves to stand up for the good news of Jesus, to stand up in the midst of the gospel trials we might face, the ones we saw last week, the suffering, the very simple nature of the gospel, the solitude that sometimes comes. Paul knows that if you and I are not to be ashamed of the good news of Jesus, we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you and I are going to stand up to the pressures of living out what we believe, standing up for what the gospel stands for, day in, day out, if we're going to be willing to, when we think, "I could speak of Jesus here," not go, "Oh, but perhaps I'm a bit scared." If we're not going to do that, we have to be strong in the strength that is in Christ Jesus. As I said earlier in our service, we started our new service last week. Check it out. We would never, any of us, have done it in our own strength. It just wasn't possible. Who knows that if we are to do what God wants us to do, if as individuals in a church, be a church that is not ashamed of the gospel, is willing to stand for it, we will need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Are you? Is that a good description of you? The great news is the strength that God gives us. We don't have to whip it up. Up to about a week ago, I've been going to a gym. I've been a bit busy this week, so I haven't made it. One of the humbling things about going to gyms is when you do machines like lat presses, that's special, isn't it? I do about, and I don't know what they stand for, I think I do 25. When I sit on the lat press, the person before me has normally done about 75. So here am I. Oh dear. People have so much more power than I have. I've got the power of God in me. It may not allow me to do a lat press at 75, but it will equip me to be the person God wants me to be, to do what God wants me to do, and it will you too. We need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus if we are to be the people God wants us to be the church God wants us to be. If we have this command, secondly, we have a commission. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul does not just leave Timothy with a command about his own need. He reminds him that in his role, he is to make sure that the good news is passed down through the generations, is passed across as well, so that more and more people hear it. He has already reminded him that the gospel has a continuity through time, and now he shows that he has a role too in making sure that this gospel goes out in his generation and to the generations to come. Paul knows that if the good news of Jesus is to continue to be heard, Timothy will need not just to be strong, but also to be wise. And as wise person, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, Paul has already reminded Timothy that the good news, the truth, was passed from Christ to Paul. That's chapter 1, verse 11. And then from Paul to Timothy, 1, verse 13. And now we see the end of that progression. Timothy is to pass the truth on to faithful people. And those faithful people are to teach others. Why do we have home groups? And why do they have leaders? Why do we have men's ministry? Why does that have leaders? Why do we have women's ministry? And why does that have leaders? Why? Because we want the gospel to be heard. We want people who are reliable. And if you're in one of those leadership roles, you're about to be shown what the reliable means. And it's a bit scary, by the way. But there we go. We want reliable people who will teach others so that they can teach others. It's an amazing privilege, isn't it? Why do we do these things? Why last Monday night did a group of men sit around, open the Bible? Why next, in the next one, will one of the other men teach for 10 minutes so that he can help others know the gospel so that they can hand it on? Paul sees, you see, the good news of Jesus as something so precious that we need to make sure it's handed on. Handed on to one another so that as we understand it better, perhaps we'll become one of those people who are qualified to teach others. Last week was the anniversary of 9/11. 9/11 is always a bit of a day for me because a year later, on the 11th of September 2002, was the day I became vicar of Christ Church St Andrews. Makes it very easy to remember. But my ministry will have been rubbish and a failure if this church family is in a place where there are reliable people who will teach the gospel to others, who will then teach the gospel to others. I might as well not have been here if that's not the case. Now, the big question is, then, who are these reliable people? Got to discern who they are, haven't you? Well, fortunately, Paul doesn't leave Timothy or us in the dark. And I'm afraid, as we come on to verses 4-3 onwards, and we get to the soldier, athlete, farmer, this is not a pick and mix. Reliable people can't choose to be one of these. It's all three. So what do we learn about reliable people? Well, we learn, first of all, that they're soldiers. Verse 3, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You see, if you're a soldier, you're likely to suffer, aren't you? I don't know if you, as the bomb went off by Kabul airport, it became obvious, didn't it, that soldiers suffer? There is a whole point here. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers are in the firing line. If we are to be those who are reliable people, we will find ourselves in the battle. And the more effective as individuals and as a church family we are, the more in the battle we will be. Good soldiers suffer. Now, I don't know about you, but suffering has never really attracted me. But fighting for the good news of Jesus to be heard and known, that does. But it's sometimes costly. If you're a home group leader, you'll perhaps know this experience where you've just got some time set aside to study. And there are two things that happen. The first thing is that everything seems to get in the way of the time you set aside. You just think, how come everything gets in the way? Because you're in a spiritual battle. Soldiers fight and sometimes suffer. Soldiers have to be single-minded, verse 4. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. What Paul is saying here is that actually we need to be single-minded. It doesn't mean we can't do things that aren't supposedly to do with church. It just means that we don't do something that would entangle us, would take us away. I don't know if you've ever had to prepare something to teach others, say a Bible study or something. How many things become interesting that normally aren't interesting? And you get entangled into things that you think, well, why am I doing that? I ought to be doing this. Paul's point is this, that as soldiers we need to make sure that doing what the Lord wants is our greatest demand, desire. We need to be a soldier. Secondly, if we want to be a reliable person, we need to be an athlete. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The athletes in Paul and Timothy's time had to train for 10 months before they could even enter the games, and then there were rules for when they were at the games. Paul's point is this, that if we are to be reliable people, we must do ministry as God tells us to do ministry. We can't do it in our own way. We can't just go, as a church, we'll do whatever we like. The ends cannot justify the means. We need to be people, a church family, that ministers as God would have us minister. So, for instance, if we are privileged to work with the vulnerable, we mustn't manipulate them to get what we want. We need to treat them rightly as God would have us. We need to be soldiers. We need to be athletes. Thirdly, we need to be farmers. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. The idea here is that actually a lot of my life and a lot of our lives as Christians goes unobserved, doesn't it? It's very easy to think, oh, nobody's watching. But we're told that if we want to be reliable people, we need to be those who are willing to work hard. Work hard in the Lord's service. But look at the encouragement here. We should be the first to receive a share of the crops, a harvest of people coming to faith and Christians growing in the faith. There will be no victory for the soldier unless they give themselves to soldiering, no wreath for the athlete unless they keep to the rules, and no harvest for the farmer unless they toil in their farming. Hold on a minute, didn't you say it wasn't about what we did, be strong in the Lord? This sounds about being strong in us. Now look at the balance as we close in verse 7. Reflect on what I'm saying. That's our responsibility. You and I, as human beings, have to reflect on what the Lord says and what he wants. And look what the Lord promises. For the Lord will give you insight into all this. I love that. Have you had that experience where you've read the scripture and thought, I don't know what that's about? And then you read it again and it comes clear. Reflect on this and the Lord will grant you understanding. What an amazing privilege it is. If we want to be the church family that God wants us to be, we have to be willing to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, individually and corporately. But we also need to be wise and understand that our responsibility is to guard the good news of Jesus, and to guard it not by keeping it to ourselves, but by making sure that we entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Maybe you're not in that place where you're teaching others yet, but maybe the Lord will call you to that place. Perhaps you might be in 3 years, 1 year, 1 week leading a home group, or involved in leading the men's ministry or the ladies' ministry. Maybe you think, oh, not me. That's a very dangerous thing to say to the Lord, by the way. I've learned that's a bad idea. Perhaps you might even one day end up standing here. But only if you're willing to be a reliable person, a soldier of the Lord, an athlete in the Lord's race. Farmer who harvests the Lord's work. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to be a church family where folks do hear the good news of Jesus, and where each of us, in wherever you call us to teach, whether that's in our families, among our friends, at work, in the church family, wherever it is, each of us is one of those reliable people. Father, help us to be a church that reflects rightly on your word, so that you will grant us the understanding, so that we would be individually and as a church family the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.